Welcome back, and in this lesson we're building that warm tape style grit on pads in Ableton Live 12, specifically for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. Now, this is a really important sound in DNB, because pads in this style are not supposed to feel glossy and hyper clean all the time. We want something dusty, nostalgic, a little worn in, like it's been printed through tape, hardware, and a few years of atmosphere. The goal is warm, slightly saturated, a little compressed, softened up top, and still controlled enough to sit behind breaks and bass without crowding the mix. So let's think like a mix engineer and a sound designer at the same time. We're not just making a pad sound cool in solo. We're making it work inside a dense jungle arrangement, where the drums need snap, the sub needs space, and the pad has to support the mood without stealing the spotlight. First thing, start with a pad that already has some character. If the source is too bright or too pristine, you'll end up fighting it the whole way. Great starting points are string pads, choir-style pads, analog poly sounds, soft FM pads, or even a sampled ambient layer. If you're building it in Ableton, Waveedable, analog, operator, or a chopped sample in Sampler can all work beautifully. If you're using Waveedable, a really solid starting point is a saw or triangle-like waveform, a second oscillator very slightly detuned, a low-pass filter, and a slow attack with a medium release. Keep the unison modest. We want warm and alive, not giant and glossy. Think old jungle record, not cinematic trailer pad. Now before we add any grit, clean up the low end. This is one of those mix moves that makes the whole chain work better. Drop in a Q8 first and high pass the pad around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on how thick it is and how busy the bass line is. If there's mud in the 250 to 450 Hz range, pull a little out there. And if the pad is poking at the ear in the upper mids, maybe at around 2.5 to 5 kHz, tame that too. Keep it subtle. We're just making room. One of the biggest mistakes people make is adding saturation before they've managed the low end. Then the drive stage gets hit too hard and the warmth turns brittle or fizzy. So leave yourself some headroom. Gain stage first, color second. Now for the heart of the sound, saturation. This is where that tape style vibe really comes in. In Ableton Live 12, you've got a few great stock options. Saturator is the cleanest starting point. Drive it around 2 to 6 dB, turn on soft clip, and match the output so the level is roughly the same as bypass. That way you're hearing tone, not just loudness. If you want more old-school dirt, drum bus can be surprisingly useful on pads when used carefully. Keep the drive moderate, damp the highs a bit, and leave boom off or very low. The point here is density and character, not making the pad sound like a drum bus. And if you want a more modern color that still feels warm and textured, Roar is a great Live 12 choice. Keep the drive mild, use the filtering to smooth the top, and resist the urge to overcook it. For this kind of pad, subtlety wins. If you immediately hear distortion, it's probably too much. We want harmonic richness, a little glue, a little edge. Next up, movement. Tape isn't static, and neither should your pad be. Subtle modulation goes a long way here. Chorus ensemble is a classic move. Keep the mix low, the rate slow, and the depth modest. That gives a gentle widening and a bit of motion without turning everything into chorus soup. Auto pan is another great trick. Very slow movement, low amount, and a rate somewhere around half a bar or one bar can add life, without making the stereo image feel unstable. And if you want a more delicate kind of drift, shifter can do that too, but keep it very understated. Think wobble, drift, memory, not special effect. Now let's make the pad feel finished with some compression. We're not smashing it here, just smoothing it out. A compressor with a 2 to 1 ratio, a medium attack, and a release that breathes with the part can help the pad settle. Aim for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Glue compressor also works nicely if you want a bit of cohesion. This makes the saturation react more evenly and helps the pad stay tucked in the track. After that, we'll shape the top end so it feels more tape-like. Tape rolls off some highs, and that's part of the charm. You can do this with auto-filter using a gentle low-pass around 8 to 14 kHz, or with a Q8 using a soft high-shelf cut. The idea is to soften the brightness without killing the air completely. In jungle and old-school DNB, a slightly darker pad often sits better because the breaks are already full of crisp top-end energy. If the sound still feels too clean, add a little texture. Vinyl distortion can be cool if you want a bit of old record attitude. Erosion can add a tiny bit of dirty air on top. Just be subtle. We're seasoning the sound, not turning it into a lo-fi effect demo. Sometimes just a touch of texture is enough to make the pad feel like it belongs in a dusty tape-era space. Now let's talk width, because this matters a lot in DNB. A wide pad can feel huge in solo, but in a busy mix it can smear the groove or make the center feel weak. Use utility to control that stereo spread. If the pad is too broad, bring the width down a bit. Around 80 to 120% is often a useful zone, depending on the arrangement. You can even automate width so it opens up in the intro and narrows slightly when the bass and drums come in. That's a really musical move, and it helps the track breathe. Reverb and delay should be handled carefully. You want atmosphere, but you do not want to drown the groove. In Jungle and DNB, too much reverb on the insert can make the drums feel smaller and blur the pocket. A better approach is to use send returns. Put hybrid reverb or reverb on a return track, keep the decay moderate, and cut the lows aggressively from the reverb. Same idea for delay with echo. Filter it, keep feedback under control, and use it more as a ghostly layer than a loud effect. If you want a practical chain to start with, here's a strong one. EQ8 first, then saturator, then chorus ensemble, then compressor, then auto filter, then utility. Add send effects for reverb and delay. That chain gives you cleanup, warmth, movement, control, and mix placement all in one place. But the real pro move is always to check the pad in context. Solo is useful for spotting issues, but the mix decides whether it works. Listen in a sparse section and then in a dense section. A pad that sounds perfect in the intro might suddenly fight the snare or the hats once the full break comes in. If that happens, lower the pad, cut more mids, or narrow it a touch. In Jungle, the pad should usually be something you feel more than something you consciously notice every second. Also, pay attention to the low mids. That 200 to 500 Hz area fills up fast in DNB. If your pad sounds cloudy, chances are that range needs a trim before you add more processing. And always mono check the body. If the whole useful part of the pad disappears in mono, the widening is probably too extreme. You want a strong center and a tasteful stereo bloom, not a hollow center with pretty sides. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't oversaturate. Don't leave too much low end. Don't make the pad too bright. And don't bury the whole sound in giant reverb. Also, don't trust the sound in solo too much. A great jungle pad is designed to live inside the drums and bass. If you want to push this darker, there are a few killer variations. You can low pass and automate the filter like a sampled record. You can add a tiny amount of pitch and stability for that worn hardware feel. You can saturate the mids while keeping the sub clean elsewhere in the track. And you can use dark reverb tails that are heavily high cut so the ambience feels deep and ominous instead of shiny. A really nice advanced move is parallel grit. Duplicate the pad. Keep one version cleaner and filtered, and make the second version band limited, saturated, and a little compressed. Blend that dirt lane underneath until you only really miss it when it's muted. That gives you attitude without wrecking clarity. Another great idea is to arrange the pad differently across the song. Make it wider and more reverby in the intro, narrower and drier in the main groove, more animated in the breakdown, and slightly reduced in width when the drop hits. That contrast makes the track feel bigger and more intentional. Automation is everything here. Don't just automate volume. Automate cutoff, drive, width, and send levels too. That's how you make the sound feel alive, almost like old hardware never behaving exactly the same twice. So, to recap the recipe, choose a pad with character, remove unnecessary low end, add gentle saturation for warmth, introduce subtle modulation for movement, smooth it with light compression, darken the top end, control the width, and use reverb and delay carefully on sends. Then always listen in the context of the full jungle mix. If you get this right, the pad won't just sit behind the drums. It'll help define the emotional identity of the track. That dusty, warm, slightly gritty atmosphere is a huge part of what makes old school jungle and DNB feel alive. Now for your practice task. Build an 8-bar intro pad at 170 BPM using only Ableton stock devices. Start with a soft synth or sampled pad, high pass it, add a little saturation, some slow chorus, a gentle low pass, send it to a dark reverb, and automate the width so it opens up over the intro. Then test it against a break and bass line. If it still feels musical, moody, and controlled, you've nailed it. And if you want to keep going after this, try making 3 versions of the same pad, one clean support version, one dusty intro version, and one darker, narrower drop version. Same musical part, different roles in the arrangement. That's a really strong way to level up your jungle mixing instincts. All right, let's move on and get that tape-worn atmosphere sounding serious.